Okay, now we're looking at 2 Kings chapter 15, as we read earlier, verse 1 down through verse 7 about Uzziah. But I want to use mainly for the message and the text 2 Chronicles 26, verse 1 down through verse 23. And I'm entitling the message from these two chapters, Uzziah's Great Sin Against God. We read that in 2 Kings 15, in 2 Chronicles 26, that Uzziah died a leper. God had smitten him with leprosy. Now, what was the great transgression and the sin of Uzziah that caused God to kill him? And that's exactly what happened. God killed him with leprosy. Well, here's the sin. He tried to approach God and worship God apart from a proper and suitable priest. He tried to usurp the authority of God's priest. He tried to bypass the priest of God and tried to come to God without a mediator, without a priest. You can't do that and live. He tried to be his own priest. He tried to intercede for himself. And many people today, especially religious folks, self-righteous folks that are full of religious pride, they make the same fatal mistake to try to approach God apart from the only suitable mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just one way to approach God, and we know what that way is, don't we? It's Christ, Christ alone. There is just one great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is just one mediator between God and men, and that is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man. Any part of no you don't understand? No man comes to the Father but by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. To come any other way but the way God says to come is deadly and damning to our soul. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him. But think about this. What a blessing of salvation to come to God by the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a great blessing that God has given to us, the way of mercy. He ever lives to intercede for us. He's able to save to the uttermost. He said, all that the Father giveth to me, they will come to me. And those that come to me, I will not cast out. The Lord said, by me, if any man enter in, he said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, Uzziah had a prosperous reign for many years. In total, he reigned 52 years. Now, that's a pretty long reign. Some of the kings reigned just a few years. David reigned 40 years, and some others reigned 40 years. But Uzziah reigned for 52 years, and many things he did that which was honoring to the Lord, but like his father, Amaziah, he did not remove the high places. We're going to see that through several of those kings. They did not remove the high places till we get down to a king by the name of Hezekiah. And finally, Hezekiah removed the high places. And it cost him dearly. Notice what it says down in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 26. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in visions, in the visions of God or the revelation of God, as long as he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord through the prophet who had the word of God. God made him to prosper. God blessed him. He sought the Lord to know the will of the Lord through the prophet of God who had the word of God, Zechariah. That was good and proper to seek to know the will of the Lord through God's prophet, right? God hath in these last days, he spoke to the fathers by the prophets. He has in these last days spoken unto us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great prophet of God. You remember Deuteronomy 18, 18. God said, I'll raise up a prophet from among the brethren. As long as he sought the Lord, through the prophet of God, who had the word of God, seeking the will of God, God made him to prosper. Remember the words of the prophet of God to Joash, who was the grandfather of Uzziah. The words of the prophet of God to Joash said, you cannot forsake the Lord and prosper. As long as Uzziah sought the Lord made him prosper. Now, when I think of that word prosper, I think of how the pleasure of the Lord is made to prosper in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that Isaiah 53. How every believer is made to prosper in Christ. Now hold your place there and find Isaiah. Isaiah 52:11. Isaiah 52, I want to look down at verse 13. Isaiah 52:13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. In the marginal references, my servant shall prosper. He's talking about the righteous servant of God, the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The only prosperity that we know of is through the blessings we have in Christ. Look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. We will prosper believing the word of the Lord. Turn to one other reference on that word prosper. Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper. Now, who is that king? Christ our King. And shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Now, pencil in this reference, Jeremiah 33:16, but it says over there in Jeremiah 33:16, in those days Judah shall be saved and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name whereby she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. You see, that's our name too. And we prosper in the Lord Jesus Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we stand complete. There is no spiritual prosperity outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son, whatever else you have, you don't have any prosperity or any spiritual life. Now, in verse 6, back in our text, and I won't go back and read these verses, but in verse 6 down to verse 15, as we read, we have the many prosperous things that Uzziah was given of the Lord in those years. Take a look at verse 7. God helped him against the Philistines. God helped him against his enemies. And then it says down in the last part of verse 8, and he was strengthened exceedingly. God gave him wisdom, God gave him strength, God made him to prosper, and as long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. In verse 9 and 10, we read that he served the people by building towers to protect Jerusalem from the invading armies. He built towers in the desert to protect the livestock. He dug many wells. He planted many vineyards. He was a farmer. He loved the ground. And God gave him a fruitful, fruitful land. And verse 11 down through verse 15, we read that Uzziah marshaled a great army of over 307,000 men, well armed and trained to protect the kingdom. Verse 13, under their hand was an army of 300,000, 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared them throughout all the host of shields and spears and helmets and habergeons or shields, bows and slings to cast stones. Verse 15, he made in Jerusalem engines. These machines invented by cunning men. Where did they get that wisdom? God gave them that wisdom to be on the towers upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows. They had machines that shot arrows. They had machines that would cast great stones. And his name spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped. God helped him in many ways, till he was lifted up with pride. He invented these great machines, and as I said earlier, they're called catapults. Some think that these were used by Uzziah and his army first, not the Roman army, not the Greek army. It was a Jewish invention. God gave somebody wisdom. The fame of Uzziah spread abroad, and the Lord mightily helped him, marvelously helped him, made him to prosper. And that went on pretty good until his heart was lifted up with pride. Look at verse 16, and here's this big word, but. However, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction. He was full of himself and full of pride, ignoring the law of God, ignoring the order of God. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now just reading that and thinking, well, it seems harmless. It seemed like he was doing a religious exercise to go into the temple of the Lord. Well, surely that's right. And to go into the holy place and take incense and perfume that room before the veil. And you think, well, that's an innocent thing. No, it was a deadly thing. It was a sinful thing. His heart was lifted up with pride. You remember last week, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Proverbs 16:18. Notice what Uzziah did. Repeating myself, he went into the temple of God to burn incense upon the altar of incense. But he was a king. Kings were not allowed to do that. The king even had to have a priest. He wasn't a priest. Uzziah had no business attempting to burn incense unto the Lord. He went into the holy place before the veil to do so, and God was angry with him. Look at verse 17. And Azariah the priest, the high priest, went in after him. He saw the king going in, and he ran in after him to try to stop him, to try to warn him. And with him, 80 other common priests, 80 of the Lord, that were valiant men, and they withstood the king. Now this man's the king. He has all authority and all power, but not above God. And they said to him, it's not right. It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but only to the priest, only to the sons of Aaron, only to the tribe of Levi that were consecrated, set apart to burn incense. Now these incense burning on that in that altar of incense before the veil are a picture of the prayers of Christ for us. To go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord thy God. But instead of being humbled and broken, Uzziah was angry. Azariah the high priest and 80 others went in to stop him, to intervene and persuade him. Don't do this. Don't do this. There was a standoff. You see, only the sons of Aaron had God set apart for this office of the priest, to represent the people to God, not the king. You cannot honor God. Look what it says in the last part of verse 18. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord thy God. You're not going to honor God by doing this. You're going to dishonor him. Only the sons of Aaron had God set apart for this office, to represent the people to God, not the king. And they said, you cannot honor God and disobey the word and the will of the Lord. Now, if you want to turn with me, you can, but Numbers 18. Can you find Numbers right over here? Numbers 18. If you have the Cambridge I have, it's page 215. Numbers 18. Now, verse 6. Numbers 18, verse 6. And I beheld, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord, to do service at the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and you shall serve. I have given your priest office unto you as a service of a gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. In Numbers 16, verse 40, to be a memorial to the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to the offer incense before the Lord, that you be not as Korah and his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. That is, Korah tried to usurp the authority of Aaron too, and God killed him. This was set aside only for the sons of Aaron and the priest of God. Now, why is all that so particular? Because it all pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? He is our high priest. We're going to see that in a minute. Verse 19, Uzziah, back in our text. Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand. And while he was wroth with the priest, now who was he really angry at? His anger, he was trespassing against the Lord. This was God's order. The leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him. Behold, he was leprous in his forehead. They thrust him out from thence. Yea, he himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him, and he died a leper. He was a leper until the day of his death. The Lord, in a most severe way, chastised him as a leper, and he remained that until he died. Now look at verse 22. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. Now this makes a lot of sense when you read, turn to Isaiah 6 now. When you read Isaiah 6, verse 1, Isaiah 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Isaiah knew something of the holy character of God, his inflexible justice, that even the king could even go in and act as a priest before God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he did fly. The message of God's servants cried one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of glory." And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5, "Then said I, woe is me. I'm in trouble. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." He's saying here, I deserve exactly what Uzziah deserved. "Because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory, the Lord of hosts." He saw God in his holy character that must punish every sin against God, either in you or in the substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the gospel lesson for us today? What does all that have to do with us today? Well, it's relative to us, isn't it? Our great God has not changed. "I am the Lord," he says, "I do not change." He was holy and just in that day, and he's holy and just in this day. His order has not changed. His priesthood has not changed. God is holy, immutably holy, eternally holy, and he's not going to change his holy character to sneak us in the back door of glory. He has to save us in such a way that honors his own holy character. I know this, God has not changed and men have not changed. You read Isaiah 40, "All flesh is grass. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. There's none righteous, no, not one." God has not changed, men have not changed, and the way of salvation, it hasn't changed either. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ, we know, is the only way of salvation. He is our great high priest who intercedes for us. The Old Testament priest appointed by God and set apart by God to represent the people of Israel, they were pictures and types of the Lord Jesus Christ who represents us unto our God. They entered the Holy of Holies on this earth on the Day of Atonement to put blood upon the mercy seat. But as we read over in Hebrews 9, turn to the book of Hebrews. We're going to spend a little time there in the book of Hebrews. They entered into the Holy of Holies made with hands. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as our great high priest, he entered into heaven itself. Hebrews 9:24. "For Christ had not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true," Hebrews 9:24, "but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." Now those priests entering into the Holy of Holies is a picture of Christ. They went into the Holy of Holies under the veil. What did they bring with them? The blood. The blood of a substitute, the blood of a sacrifice. And they put that blood on the mercy seat. That blood is a picture of Christ, our great high priest, who did not bring the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood. That mercy seat, that blood put upon that mercy seat that covered the law that was in that covenant, all that is a picture of Christ. He is our mercy seat. He is our propitiation. The sacrifices, though, that were offered under the law were only typical of the sacrifice of Christ for us. They offered the blood of bulls and goats. Look at verse 11 in Hebrews 9. "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hand, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place," the holy place, not on earth now, in heaven, "having obtained eternal redemption for us." God bought us with his own blood. They offered many sacrifices, the priest under the law, But their sacrifices never put away sin. The Lord Jesus Christ offered one sacrifice for sin that forever put away our sin. Now find Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. The first was the first covenant of law that was revealed. The second is that eternal covenant of grace. Hebrews 10:10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once, one time. And that one time is for all his people. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for that after that he said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I put my laws into their heart, and in their minds will I read them, and their sin and their iniquity, God says, I will remember that no more. Now, how come? Because the Lord Jesus Christ took our sin to himself and took them away. It says in Hebrews 9:26, remember? He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Those priests in that Aaronic priesthood, they held their office only while they lived a short time. The Lord Jesus Christ is our eternal great high priest after the order of, not Aaron, but Melchizedek. He is our ever-living priest. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can effectually bring a sinner unto God Almighty. Matter of fact, the scripture said the Lord Jesus Christ suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might do what? Bring us unto God. That's the only way we can come. Through Christ our great high priest. Our Lord Jesus Christ can present us in himself faultless before the presence of God's glory with exceeding joy. We've heard that before, haven't we? The Lord Jesus Christ, under the law, there was a prophet, there was a priest, and there was a king. No man ever held all three of those offices. David was a king, but he wasn't a priest. Samuel was a prophet, but he wasn't a king. The Lord Jesus Christ is both prophet, priest, and king. Now, listen to this. He's a prophet to reveal the way. Christ is that way. He is a priest to represent us in that way. And then he is a king to reign over that way. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is prophet, priest, and king. Now, would you dare come to God any other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's suicide. That would be a suicide mission. It would be certain death and destruction. Now we see the seriousness of the sin of Uzziah. He attempted to usurp the office of the priest, really, of Christ. In other words, he was denying the person and office work of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejecting the intercessory mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord justly killed him, condemned him over this terrible sin, usurping God's way of salvation. Now, how serious is that? Turn to Hebrews 10. You're right there in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 10. He that despised Moses' law, Hebrews 10:28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And that's what he did. He despised the law of Moses. How much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. That's what Uzziah did. And that's what every sinner does who thinks he can be his own Savior, his own high priest. And have done despite to the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And again, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. May God help us to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is all in salvation and that we stand complete in him. Nothing needs to be added. You just mess it up. Christ is all and in all. All and in all. Christ is all. He's all I need.